Blog Talk Radio.
What an amazing God we serve. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Nobody's great like our God. He's amazing. There are no human words can describe the God that we serve. He is far above anything, anyone we've ever known before. We cannot even compare his greatness to the greatest person that we think is on earth. He is a mighty God, an awesome King, the King of Kings. Welcome to Wednesday Midweek Bible Study. Oh, my goodness, it's September the 21st, 2022. And he is still on the throne. No, he's got his crown on, his righteous robe on. He's dressed in majestic clothing. He's your majesty. We bow down before the King of Kings, the Almighty Lord, the King of Kings, the God of glory. Yeah, you know, the one that moves through us, the one that gives us our well-being, the one that protects us, the one that provides for us. He is Jehovah El Elyon. You wonder who's powerful? It's not Atlas. It's Jehovah El Elyon, the Most High God, Jehovah Elohim. He is the most powerful God in the universe. And don't you know, he's Adonai. He's the Lord that we chose to serve, the only true and living God. He's almighty. He exists and has always existed. We're the ones who are birthed into this earth by him. We're the ones that he blows his breath into every day. And we are living souls because of him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are great and mighty, high and holy. Be lifted up, our King. You are the King that loves us. You are the King that we adore. We honor you. We honor your presence. There's no God that can compare to you, oh God. You are almighty, El Shaddai, the mighty-breasted one, the one that we look up to, the one that we depend on, the one that we trust in, the one that, you know, says, don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. So, Father, we thank you that you are directing our path on a daily basis. We're not looking to the left. We're not looking to the right. We are moving forward in you in the mighty name of Jesus. We are coming closer to you day by day by day. You are ordering our steps in your word. Oh, God, I thank you for the secret place that you have available for all your children to come and where you download in us everything we need for the day, life and godliness. We got to get in that secret place, not running in, running out, but dwelling in your presence, oh, God. You are Jehovah, yes, Jehovah Jireh, that mighty provider. You provide life and godliness. Oh, God, we thank you for that secret place experience where we can just dwell with you as long as we want. You don't have no time clock. Oh, no, you don't have no limits on how long we could spend, on what days we could come, 24/7, year-round, 365 days of the year. We can dwell in the secret place with you, oh, God. You're the one downloading us everything we need for the day. Oh, yeah, we got to get in there and get your directions every day. So, Father, we are thanking you for directions. We're thanking you for guidance. We're thanking you, Lord God, that you are the counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty Father. We thank you that you are the banner over us, Jehovah Nisi, that mighty banner. You love us so much. You sent your only son, Jesus, to die for us. And you said, if he be lifted up, yeah, you'll draw all men unto you. So we come to lift up the name of Jesus. We come to give you praise. We come to honor you. We come to give you thanks today. You are the royal King, the almighty God, the everlasting King, the King of Kings. We say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for loading us up with benefits every day. Every day you load us up with benefits, Lord God. Oh, we thank you for those mighty benefits you load us up with every day. You don't miss a day from giving us benefits. You don't miss a day in the name of Jesus. from loading us up with all those benefits, Lord. Oh, my God, life, health, strength, you give us those benefits on a daily basis. And we say thank you, Lord God. You don't miss a day. You don't even get your days mixed up because you created time, days, seasons. Yeah, this is our season to move higher in you, to move further in you. The day you order our steps because we're your people. Thank you. Came the right day. God ordered your steps in this direction, and we are so grateful that the Most High God know your name, my name, our name. Oh, yes, September 21st, 2022. Our scripture today is in the Word of God. It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in case you want to go there with me. Chapter 5, 1 and 6. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And verse 6 says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Therefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? We thank God that his word is awesome. His word is mighty. And we thank God that the Spirit of God, yeah, is upon us. And the Lord has anointed us. Yeah, he has. He's anointed us to preach the good tidings to the meek. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And guess what else? He said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those that mourn, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Isn't that an awesome word? I love God's word. God is so amazing. He is such an amazing Father. We are so grateful. Oh, yeah, we're grateful to the Most High God. We come with grateful hearts today. Yeah, because, you know, he is, oh, my almighty. It's nothing our God can't do. It's nothing our God can't do. He can do what you feel is impossible because he's not limited. Now, of course, you know, we're limited in the flesh. But in the spirit, my God, we're powerful people because of the anointing. The Spirit of God is upon us. That's why. He's given us the power. Hallelujah. Thank God. So I thank God for each of you coming on today. God has ordered your steps here. Yep, you are good people. He ordered your steps. So I thank God for you today. God has you in his thoughts. You know he has you in his thoughts. So he's keeping you. He's keeping you with his mighty power, by his mighty hand. He's keeping you. Oh, no, you thought you were keeping yourself? You thought your parents were keeping you? When you were children? No, God has already always kept you. He said, I knew you before I formed you and shaped you in your mother's belly. I knew you. I shaped you. I formed you. I'm the one who decided the direction. He said, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. And let me tell you, they are great. You ain't even tapped the surface yet of the plans I have for you. They're great plans. So you hang in there. Better days are coming. Better days are coming. Praises to our King. Jesus is Lord. And guess what? He is alive. He is alive. Oh, no, we don't serve a dead God. He's not made with human hands. He's always been and always will be. Those false gods die, but our God is eternal. Yep, eternal in the heaven and in the earth. Psalms 117 says, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, all nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 118, verse 1 says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You hear that? Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. It's no good in us. He is good. That's why we honor him. That's why we give him glory, praise, and thanksgiving. Because his mercy endures how long? Forever, ever, 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 ever. Without his mercy, we can't live. We need his mercy to live. Yeah, it endures forever. So as we continue to praise God, we are going to praise him with song. We thank God. A sister Lanny McBride from Jackson, Mississippi. She's going to sing a song of praise. Good afternoon, Sister Lanny. I did get your text. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. So good to be with our Wednesday session. Amen.
There is a name I'd love to give. I'd love to sing his word. It even sound like music in my ear. Oh, the sweetest name. Oh, how I love thee. Oh, how I love thee. Oh, my heart from the bottom of my heart. I love it because Jesus, you love me. It tells me all the things of love. Died, had been free. Oh, God. Glory, tell me all with his precious love. Y'all, the sinner, the bird, mercy, please. Oh, show not my love from the bottom of my heart. Oh, how I love you. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Because he lives.
automatically woke up. No, it's because he lives. So whatever we have to face for each day, it's because of him that we can face today, tomorrow, and throughout the rest of our lives. We're so grateful. Thank you, Sister Mary. Awesome song. Thank you, Sister Lanny. Thank God for those wonderful songs. Sister Lanny, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here.
Can you pray for all the families of the world?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we so love you that the word family came from you as Father, Jesus as Son, and Holy Spirit. And you instituted what family is about. And you blessed in the God to say to Adam and Eve to multiply. Take authority, Genesis 1 and 26, to be in charge, to name, and to protect, provide, and produce. So it's in the name of Jesus that we come to thank you for families all around the world. And we know, Father, that the concept of what family is like in the 21st century has been assaulted by the enemy, creating other groups and designs and calling them family. So, God, we pray for the kind of family that you design. God, in the name of Jesus, there is a need in the earth for the world to redefine what family looks like in your eyes. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, through your truth being revealed, because you said that it is the truth that will make men free. We pray, God, that your truth will take another stand, that those of us who name the name of Jesus, name the name of Christ, who serve you, who are part of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of in the earth, we pray, God, that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What you design in heaven, what you design, you said in your word, that we have not because we ask not. So we ask now in the name of Jesus that you will redefine what family looks like in the earth, and that, Father, the blessings that you have declared upon them will be implemented, restored, that the enemy will no longer be able to deceive the world with their own version of what a family looks like, the games and the politicians and the parties and all different kinds of groups that name themselves as families. Families were not designed. You did not design families to hurt one another and to assault one another. You designed families that we would show love and that we could lean on each other and we can draw from each other. We can be corrected by each other. We can be directed by each other through the teaching of the Word of God. So we pray, God, that your Word, we cancel the enemy's assignment on its assault on the family in the earth all over the world. And we pray, God, for divine intervention. How are you going to do it? I don't know, but I know you can because your words say you can. There is nothing too hard for you. And it's your design that men know the truth. And you said it's your desire that none should perish. A lack of knowledge. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that teachers will rise up and the hearts of men will become pliable again and teachable again and trainable again and willing to submit to proper instruction. Most of all, be willing to admit to the lead of Holy Spirit So we pray for our Holy Spirit sweep on the earth, where ministry will define what family looks like again as if for the first time. And it will take root, and we'll be able to see the fruit of it. Our children will reap the benefits of it, husbands, wives, fathers, and sons, and mothers, and daughters, and grandfathers, and great-grands will reap the benefits of it. And with that in mind, Father, we bind generational curses in the name of Jesus, and we release generational blessings where they apply and where they are needed, where the enemy has assaulted the attack on the family because of generational curses. We bind that, and we take authority over it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for family according to your heart. We receive it in Jesus' name. We expect to show up any day now, any minute now, and we want to be a part of your reformation and your transformation from what the world has defined and has assaulted to what you have described in your word. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and we thank you, Father, that you hear and answer prayer. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank God for that powerful prayer. It's well needed for families all over the world. Thank you so much. Well, you know what time it is, it's scripture search time. Get your Bibles ready. You're going to be searching the scriptures today. This is today. You're searching the word. You got to search the word to see what God has to tell you. You know, it ain't going to just come when you know, it's nothing. When you're just doing nothing, it could, but you got to read the word. So here it is, first scripture. Listen, listen, listen. Don't forget. Find the scripture. State your name and read it. Don't say, I got it. Can you hear me? No, read. I'll tell you if I can hear you. All right, first scripture. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. When you find it, state your name and read it.
Sister Lady.
Tongue from evil.
Sister Lady. Psalm 34 and 13. Keep that tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile.
All right, that's it. Somebody's got a little noise in the background. If you could mute your phone. Unless you're reading a script, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right. Next scripture. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Where is that found? He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Where is that found? He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Where is that scripture found? Take your name and read. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Where is that scripture found? State your name and read.
Mary.
He that keepeth.
Oh.
Okay.
He that keepeth, he that guardeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 13:3.
Amen. Good job. You guys are brilliant. Thank you so much. All right, next scripture. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Where has that found? Whoso keepeth his mouth.
Sister Marion. Sister Marion. It's in Proverbs 21:23. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles.
Amen. Thank you. You guys are right on it. Thank God for y'all. All right, next scripture. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. If any man among you, a person among you, seems to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain, or this person's religion is in vain. Where is that found? If any person or man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Where is that found? Book, chapter, verse. Where is it found? If any man among you.
Caleb.
If any man.
Mary. James 1, verse 26. If any. If any one of you thinks at, oh dear, I do have, I'm saying, if any man among you seem to be religious and is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding the natural face. Is that correct?
No, that's okay. Not the one.
If any man think himself to be religious, okay, I can't read it. If any man among you seem to be religious, and it still comes back to, for if any be a hearer of the word. Sorry.
That's
Marion.
The wrong one. Okay. If any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is in vain.
And it's James 1, verse 26.
Yes. Read your version again. I apologize.
Okay. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless.
Uh-huh. That's correct. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
All right. No problem. Okay, the next and the last one is, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Where is that found?
Caleb. Is it 1 Peter 3:10?
Mm-hmm. Read it.
For whoever will love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech.
That's it. Thank you, Caleb. You guys finished them all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God for each of you coming forth with the word. Oh, my God, it was awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Ooh, he's a good God. All right. So I appreciate each one of you all. I need some readers today. I need some readers. So get your Bibles ready. Calling you in a few minutes to read. I give me a minute to get you get this here, right here. Hold it. All right. So we have someone on new with us today. I don't recognize your number, but I'm going to ask that you hold on. Hold on 1 second, because the other day we had some new people, a new person on, and I don't know exactly what it was they wanted. They text me, but it was some foolishness. And foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction is seated out of it. So, anyway, 213-837. I do not recognize your number. I'm going to give you a text so you can let me know who you are. Okay. Looks like they hung up, but it's okay. So we just don't want people on here who are not serious about the word to come on to cause distraction or disturbance or whatever it is people are doing these days. Some people come on to bring foolishness up. If I don't recognize their number, I'm not putting them on. So if you guys are having guests on or something, let me know, because they got some people on here who try to hijack the radio. They come on with foolish questions, you know, vain stuff. All right? So my readers for today, that person hung up, whoever it was. So, you know, God is such an awesome God. He's telling me to be careful and check it out. So when I called their number out, they just hung up. So don't worry. This wasn't legit, that's all. All righty, so here we go now. Readers, Ecclesiastes, let me see, hold on. The first scripture is Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. State your name and tell me you'll read.
Sister Marion.
Ecclesiastes. Okay, Sister Marion, thank you. Ecclesiastes 5 and 1, Sister Marion. I'm going to read it twice, and if you need me to read it again, let me know. So write it down. Don't try to remember it in your head. Too much going on today, so write it down. Get your paper pen ready when you come on here. Okay, Ecclesiastes 5 and 6. I'm sorry. I couldn't understand what you said.
I'll read 5 and 6.
No. Okay, Sister Mary. Sister Marion is going to read Ecclesiastes 5:1. Sister Mary Nichols is going to read Ecclesiastes 5:6. All right. The next scripture is Proverbs 15:31.
Sister Vivian, I'll read it.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Sister Vivian. Proverbs 15:31, Sister Vivian. Okay. The next scripture is James 1:19.
Caleb, I'll read James 1:19.
Thank you, Caleb. All right, next scripture. This one is the same one we had before, but a different person can read it. Ecclesiastes 5:6. Ecclesiastes 5:6.
I'll read it, Sister Laney.
Okay, thank you. All right, Ecclesiastes 5:6, Sister Lane. All right, next scripture, Psalm 39:1. Psalm 39:1.
Sister Vivian.
Okay, thank you, Sister Vivian. Psalm 39:1. All righty. Okay. That's it right there. So if you want to mute your phone until it's your time to read, I appreciate it. And you don't have to necessarily mute, but just, you know, try to make sure it's no noise in your area. right now I got some type of feedback in the phone. So, you know, my phone mute and unmute very easily. There's just like a one little tap on my phone. It says mute, and I tap it again, it could unmute. But some people's phones are a little different, and it takes you longer to unmute. So if you want to just be quiet, that's okay. All right, I'll let you know if I have any kind of feedback so you can adjust your phone or whatever. So today, you know, we've been studying in Ecclesiastes. We're on chapter 5. And next week, Sister Mary will be speaking on nutrients that our body needs. You know, I appreciate her so much because we not only got to feed our soul, we got to feed our body so our soul can stay alert and stay on top of things. So we got a job to do. You know, God is on the throne, and he's always going to do his job. So today our message title is taken from Ecclesiastes 5, the 5th chapter, the first. I need Ecclesiastes 5:1, the reader, please.
Sister Marion, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of food, for they consider not that they do evil.
Amen. So the emphasis is right here on this verse is on hear. Keep your foot when you go in the house of God and be ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of food. So a lot of times, you know, we talk and we don't even hear. We're on the cell phone in the church. Can you imagine? On it, you know, not paying attention. Our mind think about, oh, yeah, let me see what I'm going to eat for lunch. But you got to hear. That means you got to pay attention. All right, next scripture, Ecclesiastes 5:6.
All right, Ecclesiastes 5:6. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hand?
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Yeah, we don't want, you know, to sin with our mouths. It could cause our flesh to sin. So we got to be careful about what we say. Say very little words. Say very little words. Be careful what you say. All right, our message title today, listen and be quiet. Listen to be quiet. Listen and be quiet and listen to be quiet. You know, you're talking to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grand, and they're just steady talking. Say, did you hear me? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. What did I say? They can't even repeat it back to you. They weren't listening. Their mouths was talking 100 miles a minute, having fun. They were not listening. So, yeah, they may have heard you talking, but they didn't hear what you said. And that's very, very important. Listen and be quiet. Listen to be quiet. Two ears and one mouth were created by God. Isn't that interesting that God gave us two ears instead of two mouths and one mouth instead of one ear? He gave us two ears so we can listen and one mouth. So we got to hear and listen more than we talk. Now, you know that's hard for some people. I'm like, yeah, I love to talk, but there are times when I got to keep my mouth shut, even though sometimes somebody may be pushing our button. You go like, and I got to be quiet. Lord, say, shh, don't say that. Don't say that. Sometimes I even obey God. I want to defend myself. I want to, but you know what? All we got to do is obey God. I had to repent. I said, Lord, forgive me. I know I wasn't supposed to say it. I just said it. Then I got to suffer repercussions behind what I said. No. So we just obey God. We won't have to go through all of that. And, you know, sometimes the rack can go in your head. You go like, yeah, I want to tell them this. I want to tell them that. But you know what? We just got to be quiet, keep our mouths closed, and have, you know, that's how we misunderstand people. God told me one time, he said, you know, you misunderstand people sometimes. And if you just shut your mouth and be quiet, it'll really come to you what they meant. Or even you could say, listen, I heard what you said, but I didn't understand what you meant. Because meaning is in people. What a person say, the meaning, what they say, is in them. It's not over here with you. It's in them. So the mouth, that's the part of the body that's connected to the face, so we can talk. We cannot talk and listen at the same time. The preacher talking and you steady talking to the person next to you. You at some type of, you know, gathering, and a speaker's talking and you steady talking to the person that you ain't heard what they say. You hear somebody talking, but you really did not listen. So the ears are for listening to what God is saying. The organ of hearing and balance in humans, that's what the ear is for. The ear has three parts. The outer, our external ear, it consists of the flesh, that external flap, and the tube leading to the eardrum. That's the first part. That's the outer ear. Then you have the middle ear. That's its air-filled cavity connected to the throat. It's like, you know, the bones that transmit vibrations from the eardrum to the inner ear. And then lastly, you have the inner ear. Is the complex fluid filled with labyrinth, including the chakra, where vibrations are converted to the nerve impulses. Please forgive me if I pronounce any of those words incorrect. Some of these words are new to me. And I'm like, Lord, help me, Jesus. And the three semicircular canals forming the organ of balance. That's that inner ear. Ears and mouths are very vital parts of our bodies. But if Solomon could visit us today, his message to each of us would be to listen more and talk less. To listen more and talk less. That would be Solomon's message to us. If he would come visit us today, his message will be to listen more and talk less. So our message title is Listen and Be Quiet. Listen to be quiet. Proverbs 15:31. Who has that one? Proverbs 15:31. Who has that scripture?
Sister Vivian. It reads as thus, the ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yep. So we got to remember that the word of God is true. And like I said, if Solomon could visit us today, he would tell us, listen more than you speak, because that the tongue can get you in trouble. So, you know, like I told you, God has given us two ears so that we can listen more than we speak. We got to listen more than we speak. And sometimes when you listen, the thought will come to you, oh, I heard what they said, but I misunderstood what they said. So the ear that listens to a life-giving warning would be at home among wise people. So wise people use their ears more than their tongue. People who listen when life warns us of, you know, different things that are coming up, when the ungodly are around us. So we got to listen more. And when you listen, a lot of times God is speaking. I know sometimes, told me, hush, don't say that. I'll be thinking something I want to say. He'll say, don't say that. So if we get close enough to God, he will begin to speak to us, and he'll warn us what to say and what not to say. We just got to obey. So the other version says, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will hold my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. So we got to be careful what we're saying. Sometimes we give the enemy, you know, room to move in our lives. We go like, what happened? Because you spoke it. You spoke it. We got to use our two ears more. Remember I told you the ear has three parts. So you got to use your ears to listen more than you use your tongue to speak. We got to be teachable. Many people in the body of Christ are not teachable. You try to tell them, I know that already. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But this is how I'm going to do it. They get an attitude. They're not teachable. God wants us to be teachable. People who listen to God's word are teachable, and they receive God's word. They're receptive to it. They say, uh-uh, I don't believe that. I know the scripture says, but I don't believe that. No. You know if the word of God said it, what it said. Now, sometimes we misunderstand the word. You know what I like about Caleb? She's on here. Caleb will look up a scripture in different versions of the Bible. She'll say, wait a minute, Sister G, I don't understand that right here. Let me look it up in this. Let me look it up in that version. So sometimes you may read out the King James, then you got to go to the, you know, NIV Bible, or you go to Everyday Word Bible, you go to different versions of the Bible, Message Bible, to get a clear understanding of the word. People who listen to God's word are teachable and receptive to God's word. They're receptive to it. That means they obey it. A lot of people, they could quote the scripture backwards and forwards, 24/7, but they're missing obedience. They're missing obedience. You got to obey the word. Proverbs 10:19 says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. When the words are many, sin is unavoidable. And he who restrains his lips are wise. So we got to keep our tongue from speaking so much, because sometimes evil words come out of our mouth. Not intentionally. We're not intentionally speaking evil or guile. We're not intentionally disobeying God. But we got to listen more than we speak. And when we listen, God can use us. He can use us because we're going to say what he said and not what we think. We will begin to say what God said. You know that, you know, Moses got in trouble because God told him something, and he was so angry with the people. He didn't do what God told him to do. He did something different because he was angry. And so a lot of times we got to get a hold of ourselves and we got to say, Lord, what they said made me upset. And then we have to pray. We have to pray about it. Say, Lord, they really pushed my buttons this time. You shouldn't have said that. So we got to guard our way, especially around family. You know, family know how to push your button. Family know how to trigger those trigger words. Yeah, you saw us, you did this and you did that. Yeah, you, they love to point the finger. Family, you know, we do too. We love to point the finger at family. So we got to be careful how we hear, because sometimes you may have misunderstood what the person meant. Husbands and wives do that sometimes. They go like, oh, I thought you said, no, I said that, but this is what I meant. So if you will hold your peace, hold your tongue, you will begin to understand what the person said rather than react. Depend on the Holy Spirit. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when you depend on the Holy Spirit, he will lead you into all truth. And you'll get the truth, and then you'll be saying, oh, my God, I'm so glad I didn't say that, because I was getting ready to They triggered me. They pushed my butt. I was getting ready to say that. So that's what we got to do. We got to listen more than we speak. Did I miss anybody's scriptures just now? Tell me if I missed your scripture.
Yes, ma'am.
You covered it.
I missed your scripture. Who is that talking to me? State your name.
I think it's Caleb and Lanny. You didn't do James 1:19 and Ecclesiastes 5:6 again and Psalm 39:1.
Thank you, sister.
Okay. Thank you. Hold on 1 second. Let me. I moved the wrong papers around. Forgive me. You know I'm a note taker, so I got the notes here. All right, here we go. All right. Yeah, I was on the wrong page. So thank you so much. So James 1:19. Go ahead.
Caleb. James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, always be willing to listen and slow to speak. Do not become angry easy.
All right. Thank you so much, Caleb. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, slow to get angry. Be very careful, children of God. Think long before you speak. Think about the situation you are in. Think about the situation you're in. Ask God, should you respond or should you be quiet? Take your time in every situation you face. Do not react. Do not react, but think, pray, and wait on God. Most times when you stop to pray and you think about the situation, it begins to look different, and you begin to get a different understanding of what you heard. All right, next scripture, Ecclesiastes 5:6.
Sister Lady, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel, or should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah. We don't want our mouth to lead us to sin. No, we got to be careful what we say. And so sometimes you may hear something, but it's not, as I said before, what the person meant. So get a clear understanding before you react. Don't react. Get a clear understanding of what the person meant, because meaning is in people. Meaning is not in words. Meaning is in people. So don't let your mouth lead you to sin. And don't protest, you know, the messenger of God. Sometimes, you know, I may be praying for somebody and they get really angry with me. And I'm saying, well, what happened? Well, you said this and that. Yet now, look here. I may have said it, but it wasn't me. It was God who spoke it through me. Because a lot of times when the other day I was standing outside in front of my house and talking to my neighbor next door, and three young men came down the street, and the Lord wanted me to pray with them. Started praying with them, and some of them was like looking at each other, and they were, you know, smiling and whatever. Now, I don't know what I said that touched them, but I knew that I need to cover them in prayer, because too many young men, young women too, are missing. They're being kidnapped. They're being shot in the back of the head. They're being arrested. They're being put in prison. But I knew that I needed to pray with them. Now, I said what the Holy Spirit led me to say. And to this minute, I can't tell you the words I said to them, because I asked the Holy Spirit when I pray. I said, Lord, I don't know a lot of people you asked me to pray for, so I'm asking you to pray it through me. So now, when I finished, I said, y'all have any questions? No, ma'am. And went on down the street. But I thank God that they allowed me to. Now, I was getting out my car yesterday, and the Lord pointed out a man at one of my neighbor's house. He said, go over there and pray with him. So So I went over there and I spoke to him, and they spoke to me, and I said, sir, can I pray for you? He said, no, ma'am. I said, thank you. So I know. I moved on. Now, I did pray for him silently more than once because the Lord wanted me to cover him in prayer. But, you know, I could have reacted. I could have said, who do you think he is? I'm a woman of God. He ain't want me to pray. No, I didn't. The Bible says don't cast your pearls to swine. If somebody don't want it, I move on. I ain't going to try to force it down their throat because they're not going to receive it. I have learned to obey God. Now, I don't always obey him in all things. Some things I just like, Lord, I don't want to do that today. I just can't do that, Lord. I've disobeyed him. And I have to go back and say, Lord, forgive me. I sinned against you. But I thank God for each of you all. Okay, next scripture, Psalms 39, verse 1. Psalms 39, verse 1.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Sister Vivian, Psalm 39, verse 1 says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me.
Amen, amen. Yeah, I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. And that requires the spirit, you know, those nine gifts of the spirit. There's nine of them: love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, self-control, meekness, those, temperance. It requires self-control, you know, to hold your tongue. It requires, and look here, we weren't born with self-control like that. We have to learn it. We have to be taught through the Holy Spirit to have self-control. It's not automatic for most of us. You look at children. They be playing, and they'll be fighting each other, saying all kinds of things. And the next minute, they loving on one another. They forgot what they said, but it bothered them at the first. But then they forgot. They forgave each other. That's how we have to be. So, right now, we're going to be praying in a few minutes. So I'm going to call on different people. I thank God for Sister Rhoda. My sister in the Lord is on here today. Thank you, Sister Rhoda. You're unmuted. I know you may be at work, but if there's something you wanted to say today, feel free. But we thank God for you being on today. She's a mighty woman of God whom I met recently by phone, have not yet met in person, but we will as the Lord leads. Hallelujah. God has so many great men and women of God that I've not even met in this city where I live. It's full of great people of God. All right, so we're going to be praying for one another, and I'm going to call on different ones to pray for different people that the Lord would help us to listen and speak less. To listen and speak less. So who wants to go first? Who wants to pray first that the Lord would help us to listen and speak less? I bet Sister Lanny want to go first. Go ahead, Sister Lanny.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, you already know the intent of our hearts. And as much as we desire to please you, there are times when we get in our own way. Forgive us for that, Father. Forgive us for not allowing you to lead us because we are struggling to defend ourselves, or we're struggling to be heard, or we're struggling to defend our thoughts, seeking people to understand us, or even seeking to understand people, and sometimes we don't listen. Help us, Father, to we appreciate the teachable thought that Sister Jesus gave us. Self-control is learned. And even as mature believers and mature women, men of God, there's so much work that we still have to do. We're still in school in the Holy Spirit to understand how to set a guard on our tongues and open up our ears to listen more and speak less. Your word is full of that. I mean, the lessons that the scriptures that were given today are such encouragement to us to reevaluate how we approach our conversation with our family, with our friends, and even at church. Church hurt would be lessened if we would listen more. Sometimes things are said and we interpret it one way, but it was meant to be another way. So, God, we repent of getting in the way of you. We ask, God, that you will strengthen our resolve, that we will let you put your super on our natural, that he with Holy Spirit will train us to not respond, not to react, but to give time for Holy Spirit to tell us how to respond. So, God, we pray that we're on a new journey today. We are striving now. We see the error of our ways, and we desire to be better. God, we know you desire us to be better, because one scripture suggests today that when we speak too swiftly, we can cause damage to our ministries. People cannot hear us again because we offended them or we were hurtful, whether we were trying to be or not, whether, and most of the time we're not, but because when we cross the line, when we want to allow ourselves to be understood, then we take away the work of how Holy Spirit wants us to get to where we're going. So God, teach us to decrease so you can increase. Teach us how to even be in a ministry of uncomfortableness sometimes, to be in a place of obedience. It causes us to be uncomfortable sometimes, to be obedient, but ultimately you'll be glorified and the ministry will be protected and we can do the work that you've assigned our hands to do. So God, we ask for that instruction now. We submit ourselves to it. We bring our sisters and brothers alongside, that we will help each other, strengthen one another, pray for one another, that we will be good students in the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us to this new place of obedience in being a good listener and a less talker. In Jesus' name, we bless you, Father, and we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the newness of life that you're bringing to us now as we enter this phase of instruction and training in the Holy Spirit of in administration of our ears and our mouths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Lanny. Sister Marion, can you pray for us to, to listen more and talk less? Sister Marion.
Yes. Heavenly Father, I come today to you, Lord God, to give you praise and to give you thanks. I pray right now, Lord God, that you help us to bridle our tongues so we'll speak no evil or no guile. Keep our tongue to depart from evil and to do good right now. Help us to be listeners and hearers of the word, Lord God, so that we can be doers of your word, Lord God. Help us right now, Lord God, to be patient right now, Lord God, with people that speak evil around us, Lord God. Let us depart from wrath right now, Lord God. Take it in, Lord God, and let you lead us and fix our tongue to speak what you have us to say right now, Lord God. Father, I thank you and I praise you right now, Lord God. Continue to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding when we're using our tongue to speak right now, Lord God. Let us not speak vain words right now, Lord God, but let us speak your words right now, Lord God. Let us give them the words from you right now, Lord God. Strengthen us right now, Lord God, and strengthen our spirit right now, Lord God, and our tongue right now, Lord God, to speak only things that you command us to speak right now, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I pray these prayers right now, Lord God, in no other name but your Son Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. This morning, as I was doing something, the Lord just downloaded this in me, and it's called Time Thieves. rob us of our time and energy. And boy, am I guilty. I'm like, oh, Lord. So they're called distractions. They're time thieves. They rob us of the time that we can be spending with God. They're distractions, and they rob us of our energy. We don't feel like doing, you know, something else later. And so the thief of time, it robs children, the children of God, of their time, their intimate time with God. You know that time we should be spending in a secret place to go like, oh, gee, Love of Life was on, and I spent 1 hour looking at Love of Life, and As the World Turns, and, you know, I could have been in the secret place, or, you know, I was on Twitter, I was on Facebook, I was on Messenger. Oh, my God, those, you know, they're called time thieves. They rob us of our time and our energy. The time where we could be spending with God in the secret place, at a time where God waits on us to dwell in the secret place with him, to spend time with him. Guess what? When you spend time with God, he gives you daily downloads. You know how your phone gets these daily downloads? That's how your body, your spirit get them from God. But you got to just shut down everything. I'm guilty. I have to shut down everything. I'll be picking up the phone. Let me see if anybody calls me, because I keep it on silent most of the time. And I'm not seeing anybody call. Then I'm looking up words while I'm doing the Bible study, and three people call me, or somebody, you know, will say, oh, yeah, you got to read this, or whatever it is. It's just time feed. It robs us of our daily downloads with God. So this is something he downloaded in me today, and I'm sharing it with you. He will make careful deposits in us as his children when we spend time with him. Children of God must dwell. That means stay a while. That don't mean like, Lord, bless me and my family and keep me safe and, you know, keep me healthy. Amen. No. That's usually not the time to talk to him. That's the time to use the inner ear. You know that ear that you hear God's voice through? That ear. Stay in God's presence daily for his deposit of spiritual strength, spiritual growth and development, spiritual courage, spiritual patience, and the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, self-control, meekness, and kindness. We are, most of us on here love to talk. But sometimes the thief of time robs, steals us of our valuable time. It robs us of our Bible study time with God, because we say, oh, yeah, I got to answer all of these emails. Wait, wait. Now let me go answer all of these texts. And, you know, and then we say, oh, my God, I was on here 45 minutes. And that's my 45 minutes I was supposed to spend with God. You know, sometimes I have to set my clock to go in the secret place, because if I don't, I'm going to get distracted. And then, you know, the devil make me think I'm hungry. I said, oh, shoot, let's go eat. Let me eat me something right now. Ah! You know what? Thus, thief distractions. Bible study time. We got to spend time with God in the Word. We got it. Somebody tell me, well, I listen to the Word. No, no. You got to open up the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving the earth. The thief not only robs us of our study of the written word, but also of the voice of God to get direction and guidance for us every day. We need direction. Look here, I don't know about you, but I ain't put myself on the earth. God put me here. And he knew and shaped me before he formed me in my mother's belly. So he got to tell me, this is how you live. This is how you live, Sister G. This is how you live. This is what you do first. And I do this second. And I need downloads from God. Only way I'm going to get them is I got to get in the secret place and get in the Word. So that was just a little bit of sharing. It's homework time. Anybody want to share anything about the Word before we move to homework time? Anybody, somebody, everybody. All the phones are on all the lines.
Yes, ma'am.
This is
Vivian.
Go ahead, Sister Vivian.
State your name.
Go ahead,
yes,
Sister
ma'am.
Vivian.
Go ahead, Vivian.
Sister Vivian, I know of a woman lost her four-bedroom house because she didn't listen to her husband.
Oh,
He kept telling him, said she going to pay for it. But she feels like she need to give him word for word. Now she have no place to stay. They stay, both of them are staying with her son because she feels like she has to have the last word. So she lost a all four-bedroom house and all the property of like 15 or 20 acres of land. And he said, I told you this was going to happen because you don't shut up. Amen.
Amen. Sister Lanny?
I just had a simple quote that I heard that says, you can't unring a bell. And what that simply means is that once words come out of our mouth that are hurtful and destructive, I know as saved people in places of authority, sometimes we're trying to make things, we're working on management, but we forget how to love people, and we may speak too swiftly. And once the words come out of your mouth, we could cause damage, and somebody may decide to just go home and not come back to church or come back to the ministry or even come back to the family setting because of words that were said that hurt somebody. You cannot unring a bell. Once you say those words, the damage is done. And if God don't fix it and repair it, that person will stay wounded. So I just wanted to, that expression, you cannot unring a bell. That's why it's so important for us to guard our words so we won't do damage to each other.
Amen. Thank you. All right, Sister Vivian, this Lanny, thank you. Anybody else? State your name. Please. All right, well, it's homework time. Sister Marion, you know we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Now, remember, close your Bible today. I told you to write notes. Do not read it from your Bible. I don't want you to read the scripture. I want you to say what God told you about your scripture. So Sister Mary,
Sister G, when I saw it, I accidentally and hit the wrong button and erased mine.
That's okay. But you can read it real quick because you're way down. You're the last one. So you can read it and ask God real quick what he got to tell you. He'll tell you.
Okay, that was
Ecclesiastes chapter 5:17-20. Vivian, Ecclesiastes 5:17-20.
Okay.
All right. So, Sister Marion, close your Bible. What did God tell you concerning Ecclesiastes? So we've been doing this going on over two years now. So we should be able to get a download from God about what he wants you to tell us about his word, Ecclesiastes chapter 5.
Yes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I wrote down, it keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. Be ready to hear the word of God and not entertain the word of fools, because a fool don't think that anything he says is wrong or evil. And I wrote, be hasty to utter anything before God. Psalms 34:13 says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Psalms 39:1 says, take heed to thy ways that you sin not with your tongue. A fool's voice is heard by a multitude of words. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, sin not, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 21:23 says, whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. If you make a vow unto God, keep that vow. That was what I wrote down from Ecclesiastes 5:1-4.
Excellent. I love it. Thank you. That was awesome. We started out in kindergarten, no, preschool. But we have graduated to the university. You guys are moving good. I love it. Thank God. He's teaching us every day. Amen. Thank you, Sister Marion. All right, Sister Mary Nichols. She had Ecclesiastes 5:5-8. Remember, close your Bible. Tell us what God said.
Okay. First of all, it's better not to make a vow than to not fulfill it. And I thought it was interesting. We are standing before God, so we should be very careful and not speak as foolish people. When we come before God, we need to also be listening rather than offering the sacrifice of our 2 cents. We must understand in verse 8 that whoever oppresses someone is being watched by others, and that the oppressor being watched by others, there are some people higher than the oppressor who's watching him. And so we just need to be careful, listen, and think that that we're going to get away with being oppressors if there is someone, and we know who sees all, is watching us too.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mary. Awesome, awesome. Sister Lanny. You have Ecclesiastes 5:9-12.
Yes, ma'am. The ninth verse, starting at the ninth verse, it talks about all the benefits in the earth belongs to everybody. There's something in the earth for everybody to glean from. And the people who have money are the king, people in authority. They are even served by it even the more. They gain profit too. They gain the more. The tenth verse talks about if you love money more, the more you love money, the more money you want. Whoever loves money, you never have enough. Whoever loves having much wealth, you're never satisfied with the income that you have, and it becomes meaningless that you just want to get. And that's in the heart of a person that loves money. And I'll say loves money more than people value people. The 11th verse talks about the more you have, the more people come to spend it. The more you have, there are people that will come. In other words, when you gain whatever you get, eventually it's going to be eaten up or gotten by somebody else. And the simple thing, if you see it and you watch it, sometimes it just slips away through your fingers. You can have stuff, but because of how we use it up, it's all vanity because it eventually slips away from us all. Sometimes it slips through our own fingers. You know how you break a $20 bill and by the end of the day it's gone because you weren't paying attention. You were just in the moment, just dealing with what you were dealing with. The 12th verse was really special to me. It says the sleep of a laboring man. Well, let me say it like this. simple people work hard. Whether they have little or much to eat, when they get through working hard, they sleep well. But a rich person who have a lot, they don't sleep well because they're concerned about losing what they have. They may be rich, but they seldom get a good night's sleep. Sometimes their greed keep them up at night trying to figure out what more I can do to get more. And that makes them, they don't have the same peace that a normal worker would have because their motive is about more because they're never satisfied. And ultimately the goal of this scripture is to remind us all of it that there's some things that we desire to just vain glory. There ain't nothing in it. My friends say it's a no thing. No, if you take nothing and put no over there and put thing over there. Some of the stuff that we work so hard to have and to let people see we got, ain't nothing in it because it's all fading away. What's more important is people than the things that we have. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. You guys are doing well. Thank God for you all. Well, Sister Vivian, it's on you. Ecclesiastes 5:17-20.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. 17 is speaking of a person who is after riches run into sickness. And that sickness, I understand it could be many ways. It could be lust. It can be sickness of the body. It can cause you to sin in different ways. It's a sickness. I never get enough, as I heard before. In 18, I understood God wants us to enjoy life, but obey his word and his will, what he wants us to do. He put the things here for us to enjoy, but we are how we are to enjoy it. 19, God gives some riches and some wealth, but he wants them to understand the purpose. A purpose of why. God said, don't forget the poor. And we can use our wealth and riches for many things instead of being selfish. And he said, don't tighten your hand, your fist. Open it wide and give out to others. And, you know, and so verse 20, the only things in life that is going to stand if you have riches is only thing going to stand is what you do for Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right. You guys did an awesome job. Awesome, awesome. Anybody else want to share anything briefly before we hang up? All right, now, homework. Read Ecclesiastes. Yeah, sometimes it sounds like somebody heart beating on here. Okay, that's better. Thank you. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, and I'll text your individual homework, but start reading Ecclesiastes chapter 6 every day. That's how I get the lessons. Every day I'm reading the word. Every day I'm reading the word. Every day I'm reading the word. So I'm saying, Lord, what you want me to talk about? What you want me to talk about, Lord? What you want me to talk about? So it's prayer time. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our babies, baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Revere. Sister Lanny, you got to give me that baby's name again.
Raylan. Raylan.
Huh?
I got the cotton baby in Mississippi. Let's call it the cotton baby. I can't get that name right, the first name. But it's the cotton baby in Mississippi. She's 15 months old.
Okay. Find out the name and text me, please.
Yes, ma'am. I'll text it to you.
All right. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our babies. We thank you for what you're doing in our babies. And, Lord, we thank you that they're growing by leaps and bounds. We thank you for their parents, helping their parents to help the children to grow and develop according to your plan. We thank you that they have excellent health and strength in their bodies, oh God. We're thanking you for the love you have for the babies, for their fathers, their mothers, their siblings, oh God. We thank you for providing for their families in the name of Jesus. We thank you that they are eating healthy food, Lord God, nutrients that's going to help them grow and develop and keep healthy. We thank you that, Lord God, that they, oh God, are growing in your word as well, that their parents are teaching them your word, training them up in the way that they should go. And so, Father, I thank you for Sister Marion. I thank you for Kayla, for Lanny, for Michelle, Michelin, for Mary Nichols, for Sister Rhoda, for Vivian, for each and every person who came on, those who left, those who still on. I thank you for them and their families. And, Lord, minister to their individual needs. Each person has individual needs. You know them. You know every situation they're facing. You know the husbands, the wives, the children, the grandchildren, the relatives, the siblings. You know every person. You know the jobs they go to, the jobs they don't go to. You know the churches they attend, the spiritual leaders that they're under. You know everything they're concerned about. You know the health issues. You know the healing that's going through their bodies. We're thanking you for ahead of time for healing, for strength. We're thanking you for all that you're doing on our behalf on a daily basis. We thank you for peace in our home, peace in our neighborhood, in our state, in our nation. We thank you for our leaders all over the world, that you are moving by your spirit and that you are doing great things in our leaders. Thank you for world peace. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, as we leave the line but not from your presence, we thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us daily. You said, who can know their error? So every error that we committed, forgive us. Every transgression, every trespass, every sin, every iniquity, abomination, forgive us, creating us a clean heart, renew a right spirit. So walk with us, talk with us, be a lamp and a light to our pathway. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. We praise and we honor you. We give you glory. You are the King of glory. You are our shepherd and we shall not want. And we are thanking you today for all that you're doing, all that you're doing. So we thank you that surely your goodness and your mercy shall go with us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in your presence every day, forever and ever and ever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody have anything they want to say before we sign out? All right. I love each of you. Look forward to talking to you very soon. God bless you and your family. Love y'all.
Love you.
Love you too.